It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Revelation. We're going to begin reading with the 14th verse of chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. And so we even, I think we'll begin with verse 13 because that's where the question comes in. So Revelation 7, 13 is where we're going to start. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, the phone number is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find that at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, feel free to do so. It is parkviewbible, just parkviewbible@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 7, beginning to read with verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living water, living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now the 8th verse, and we're going to just read one verse, and we may get on into a little further, but that'll get started. Revelation 8:1, and when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study today. Father, thank you for this opportunity to proclaim your precious word. I just ask that you would guide and lead us each and every day. Show us your way and will, and help us to continue to serve you and to praise you each and every day. We do pray first and ask you first that all that are listening will know you as their Lord and Savior. They have called upon you. They know the day that they have met you. There is a day, Father, we know that we will, if we come to you, it is a day that we will never forget. A day that you meet our Savior, my Savior. The day I met my Savior is a day I've never forgotten. I remember that day. I remember the day that you took my sins away. So often today, we're kind of in a universal salvation, and all that attend church or act religious are saved, and that's not true at all. We must have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus to have salvation. You have that by believing the Word of God. So please, dear Father, today, help us to look to your Word, study your Word, enjoy your word, and believe it. And Father, salvation comes into our hearts when we believe and know that your Son Jesus died on the cross for us. So please guide and lead us now as we study this precious book, the last book of your book, the Bible, the book of Revelation. Help us to know it, to understand it, and just lead us through it, dear Father, please, that folks will come to salvation, be saved, and folks will also grow through this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. That 13th verse asks a question. One of the elders said, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? So we have the question and the answer in verse 14, and that's kind of where we're going to start. We have really enjoyed the study, and just very briefly here, let me bring you up to speed. we have enjoyed the first seal. That was a white horse. We had a bow and a crown, but no arrows. The second seal that was opened was a red horse. It took the peace away. The third is a black horse, which was famine. The fourth seal and the fourth horse was the pale horse, and it had the sword and famine and pestilence and the beast. And this was the first one that had a name of the rider, and that name was death. The fifth seal, we looked at those that were under the altar, those that had been martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ, murdered and slaughtered for Jesus, stood for them and was not going to turn aside, and they were murdered because of it. And they were under the altar, and they were crying out, how long? In other words, Jesus, how long is it going to be before you're going to bring righteous judgment upon this sin-sick, God-forsaken earth? They wanted to know how long. And then the sixth seal, we had a great earthquake, and the sun became black. That's chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. Moon became as blood, the stars fell from heaven onto the earth, and the heaven departed as a scroll. Every mountain and island were moved out of its place. Kings of the earth, great men, rich men, chief captains, and on, will hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks and the mountains. And so that kind of brings you up to the point of the seventh chapter now, which we have opened six seals. There are seven. We have one seal to go. And we see very clearly here in the 16th verse of chapter 6, it said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Most do not believe that there's going to be a judgment. Well, I don't know what you do with this precious book that we're studying right here, with these words as he proclaims the actual cleansing of the earth. It is going to be taken care of. And so we find ourselves now to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, we have had 144,000 Jews, Israelites, sealed for the purpose of giving out the gospel. Not going to be any liberal preachers at this time. They'll be true. Now, there's going to be some liars out there that'll say that there's no truth to it at all. There's always going to be the liars. But there's going to be 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe, from the tribe of Jacob, the tribe of Israel. And they will come, and they will be sealed, and they will never change the words. They will not compromise in any way, nor can they be hurt. They will be led, and we will hear the truth, the Word of God. This is the final call for believing that the kingdom is coming. And they're proclaiming the kingdom is coming. Now, Jesus, the time of grace is gone. You can be saved during this time, but you will believe, yes, Jesus is our Savior, but you better do it and do it now because the kingdom has come. In other words, judgment is coming and Jesus is going to come back to earth to rule and to reign. What a wonderful picture, a beautiful picture that's coming, and this 144,000. And the salvation in this text here, it tells us how many is going to be saved. And it's such a number that it can't be numbered. And when things get so bad, folks will turn to the Lord Jesus and or turn away. This will be the last call, the last chance. But they will have a chance at this time. Now, we are at the close of the seventh chapter here in verse 13. And there is some folks here that the elders, and the elders, if you remember, is the church. And they kind of want to know the who, what, and where about these folks. Well, the 14th verse answers that. Sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Those that were saved during the reign of the Antichrist, they were saved despite the Antichrist. They were made white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, I don't know if your preacher preaches and talks about the blood of Jesus Christ, but if he doesn't, he is really missing it. Because the blood started flowing in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. And if you want to turn back to there, you'll find that to be the verse that God put the skins of the lamb, I believe it to be a lamb, the skins of those lambs up on Adam and Eve. And the blood was shed right there. Now, that blood of those lambs or goats or whatever it might have been, there was no way that that could save Adam and Eve. But what it was it was a picture, and it covered their sin. And their sin was covered for almost 4,000 years, because that's how long it was before Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and it's finished. And then our sins were taken away. And now, because we're on the other side of the cross, the other side from Adam and Eve, our sins are taken away the second that we trust in Him by faith and call upon Him as our Savior. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And so you look up later, Genesis 3, 21, and you'll see where that God did not accept the fig leaves. That's the religion of today. People try to put their own on and make their own way. It does not work. The only way that we can have salvation is God's way. And God's way is an innocent sacrifice. That was our Lord Jesus. The shedding of blood, that was our Lord Jesus. We need to have death, without question, death. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. It must be God's way. If you'll look at the sacrifice that was offered for Adam and Eve, all those things were met. That lamb or that goat, whatever it might have been, was innocent of the sin that Adam and Eve had committed. Innocent. And yet, he was put to death for them. Again, could not take their sin away, but it covered it. Because God said it did. And those offerings and sacrifices that were taken to the temple, that were offered before the temple, Abraham offered sacrifices. We know that Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices. The one Cain brought was man-made. He brought a grain, nothing with the blood. God said it must have the blood. And they had to do that every year. Now, we know that Jesus has died on the cross now, so it's finished. So no longer do we need those offerings and sacrifices. And they're no longer covered. It's taken away. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Preachers that leave out the blood from this precious message is the devil's best friend. I hope that you hear about the blood in your church. I hope that you hear you must be born again as Jesus spoke one-on-one to Nicodemus. I hope that you look to that and you understand that and you accept whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please, that you read that third chapter of John. Wonderful chapter. But please, as we look at this now, clearly, this is not the church. The church is asking who it is, but the saved during the tribulation, which came out of the great tribulation, came out of the great tribulation. What a wonderful picture we have, folks getting saved. Those who did not take the mark of the beast, the 666, you don't have to worry about it today. Only during the tribulation period do we need to worry about that. Those who did not take the mark of the beast is part of this group. Those who believed in Jesus, they paid quite a price. They paid quite a price because, you see, they were not allowed to buy, to work, to sell, to have a home. They were denied everything. Much like the Jews were when they got saved back in in the days of Jesus, when they would come and accept Jesus as their Savior. They were banned from the temple. They were banned from their home. They could not work. They could not buy. Great persecution, especially in Jerusalem, for a Jew that got saved. This time will return in such an awful way. It will be similar to that even prior to the tribulation period. As you know today, people are not allowed to speak the name of the Lord Jesus, to say God this, to say to have prayer in the schools. Everything that's related to Christianity, the world is trying to take away from us. That old devil is in control of this world. There's going to be a day that Jesus is going to take back what's his. And so please be prepared. Know Jesus as your Savior. What an awful time. Now, that's part of the reason for everything that God's going to give these people. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You know, we don't live in a time that's so brutal here in this country. There are countries, there are areas that the wickedness and what is going to be during the tribulation period is going on right now. If you confess Jesus as your Savior, you're put to death. That time is coming. Even if you live through it, and many will. Many will live through it, but it is going to be the most horrible time. They are going to hunger. They're going to thirst. The pain and the suffering that they will have to face is we can't imagine what that is. And so in the 16th and 17th verse, God says clearly and specifically, I'm going to take care of that. There's not going to be any more tears. There's not going to be any more being thirsty or hungry. I am going to give you living water, and you're going to enjoy it each and every day. What a wonderful promise is given as we look at these words here that we have before us. Now, as we continue now and look at the 8th chapter, because the 8th chapter somewhat changes directions here, because it's just a little bit different here as we look at this. And I want you to see this, because the first verse of chapter 8, it says, and when he opened the seventh seal. Okay, now before, and I've already read the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse, those that are under the altar, says how long. Then we had the earthquake and the sun, the moon is black, and all these things. The kings will cry out to be safe and to be protected from God. Instead of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, they will plead to be hidden from him. You see, he wants to save them. But when you refuse to turn to him and him alone, then you're going to fear facing him. The 8th chapter again says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there's something that's different than ever before. We kind of had the reprieve of the 144,000. We had in the seventh chapter, we had the sixth seal was open, and it was a horrible time. And now we come to this 8th chapter, and what they saw, what all that witnessed the opening of the seventh seal, what they saw, what they witnessed, was so horrible that it brought a silence for a half an hour, for 30 minutes around the world. 30 minutes as heaven and those in heaven witnessed this, silenced them. Now, it's something, because the seventh seal. Now, we need to watch this, because this seventh seal includes this as we kind of part this. We have went from now the first 3.5 years, and now we start into the second 3.5 years. During this time, it includes the sounding of seven trumpets. It includes the pouring out of seven vials. It extends down to the time of the millennial reign of Christ, when this is right before it's ushered in. This includes three woes. So we have seven trumpets, seven vials, and three woes that's going to come under this seventh seal. Silence in heaven is about the space of a half an hour. It's no wonder that all in heaven was speechless when this terrible judgment was revealed. We have had seven messages to the seven churches. We have watched John had this question, you know, as the book was handed. John saw the book in the hand of him who sat on the throne. So we have the seven messages of seven churches. We have John witnessing the book in the hand of him who sat on the throne. Then we watched and had the question, this is back in earlier chapters, who is worthy? The book contains the terms of redemption of the earth. It was sealed with seven seals. And beneath the seventh seal, again, is seven trumpets. Now, chapter 12 and 13, we will have seven people or groups or things. And if you'll look just as to prepare you for what's coming, we will have, number one, the sun, the clothed woman. Number two, the dragon. Number three, the man-child. Number four, the archangel. Number five, the Jewish remnant. Number six, the beast out of the sea. Number seven, the beast out of the earth. Now, those coming out of the 12th and the 13th verse, 13th chapter. Chapter 15 and 16, we will see the seven vials filled with the wrath of God and poured out unto the inhabitants of the earth. Chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20, we read seven dooms, the doom of the ecclesiastical Babylon, the doom of the commercial Babylon. We're going to witness the doom of the beast of the false prophet. We're going to witness the doom of the Antichrist, Antichrist nations, those that are against Christ. We're going to see the doom of Gog and Magog. We're going to see the doom of Satan. We're going to see the doom of the wicked dead. After the seven horrible dooms, we have seven wonderful new things. That's chapter 21 and 22. The new heaven, the new earth, the pearly white city, the new nations, new rivers, new tree of life, the new throne. All these new things will never end. What a wonderful day that's going to be for that tree of life to return. All these new things will never end. If you had not noticed, the number seven is used often, isn't it? That's God's number. It's the number of completeness or perfection. Now, let's return back to Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, back to the opening of the seventh seal. When the seventh seal was opened, when this seal is removed, there is silence in heaven. Something happens that had never happened before, something never seen before. The seven trumpets begin to sound. The seven vials of the wrath of God are poured out. All this is under the seventh seal. We will be reading about them from chapter 8 through chapter 16. Once again, we will see why all of heaven stood completely silent, speechless, spellbound for a half an hour. These 24 elders ceased in playing their harps. Heaven's angels hushed their singing. All of heaven stood in awe. The most awful judgment is about to be poured out. we need to ask that God have pity on all that are here. You don't have to be. You don't have to be here during this time. You can trust in Jesus today and be saved. You do not have to be here. You don't have to go through the tribulation. The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be going on during the same time the tribulation is going on, and that is an invitation is given to the church. If you come by faith to Jesus today, Jew, Gentile alike, poor, rich, whatever color you are, doesn't matter. You can come by faith to Jesus today and be saved. Miss this all. Miss every bit of it. Please do. Because this is going to be the most horrible time ever upon the earth. Now to verse 2. Revelation 8, 2. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Once again, we have seven angels, seven special angels. They stood before God to pour out God's wrath upon his enemies. Seven trumpets were given to the seven angels, one each. The trumpets through the scripture are used to call soldiers to war. It's also used to call to worship. Used for the worship, for the convocation. It was used to proclaim the festivals, the feasts. It was used for the year of Jubilee, the Feast of the Tabernacles. It's also used for judgments. These seven angels took their position, and they prepared to sound. But before that, verse 3, and John, he saw another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, we have not read this before, so let me read this verse again, the third verse. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. John did see another angel. He saw in the hand of that angel a golden censer. And he came and stood before the golden altar. The angel was given much incense, and that he offered the incense with prayers of all the saints. The service rendered by the other angel at the altar proved that it could be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This angel is Jesus, the high priest, our high priest. Both altars are mentioned. We have the brazen altar and the golden altar. On other creatures could add, no other creature could add to the prayers of the saints, these tribulation saints. None nor go between the two altars. Only one mediator between God and man, that's Jesus Christ. You'll find that 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Now, you wonder about the altar and the golden altar. We just have a few seconds left. But this brazen altar is out in the courtyard of the tabernacle. And then you come into the courtyard and you have the beautiful golden lampstand, and then you have the table of showbread, and then you have a golden altar there called the incense altar or the prayer altar. That's where we're at. My dear friend, we'll continue, but what are you going to do about Jesus?